The following is a production of Snake Tree Media. This is Urgent Frequency, the sonic sit rep for Urgent Fury, the hottest tactical gamer community on the World Wide Web. And now, here's your host, Commander Claymore Fury.
Hoo-yah, Frequency Freaks! It's your buddy, your pal, Commander Claymore Fury, and this is Urgent Frequency for the week of Sunday, July 25th, 2010. This week, now that things have just about gotten back to normal here in Urgent Fury, we prepare to kick off the next phase of this year's tournament season as we fade to black once more for another run through the ever-popular No Boom Tournament, Urgent Fury Black for SOCOM U.S. Navy SEALs Confrontation on the PlayStation 3. Then, with Season 2 of the PlayStation Network's The Tester on the way, one of Urgent Fury's very own finds himself in the top 10 in contestant voting heading into the third round, and he'll get some pointers from Sam Doc Castanin III from The Tester's Season 1. Plus, we give away those five awesome E3 prize packs to the people who actually deserve them. And it may not be who you think it is. This podcast is certified Bieber-free. This is Urgent Frequency.
Hey, this is your boy Doc from The Tester, and you're listening to Urgent Frequency only on UrgentFury.com.
There are so many things that we take for granted in our lives, but one thing that we should never take for granted are the brave men and women of our volunteered armed forces. Some of these brave warriors have suffered catastrophic injuries. Many are missing limbs or have been badly burned. The Wounded Warrior Project was created to help and support those who are returning home from combat with catastrophic injuries. To learn more, call 877-832-6997.
The elite operators of the U.S. Special Operations community are tasked with only the most difficult and dangerous missions. The subject featured in the following interview operated within this community and acted as a consultant on the development of Medal of Honor. Their identity has been concealed for security purposes.
I'm a guy with a special forces background. I've been in service in my country for over 15 years. When certain things show up on the table and certain things need to get done, 100% of the guys that you work with can look at that and say, I am the answer to that problem. I always knew that I wanted something different. I wanted to beat my own path, carve my own way. I'll call it fate. I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. I always like to refer to the guys in our community that the candle just burns brighter. There's nothing that's going to satiate this person. The person wants to continue to push, to grow, to evolve as a warrior. It's a wolf pack mentality. You've got a lot of A-type personalities that tend to want to be the best that they can be. You will smell out the weak. And if you don't keep up with the pack, then you absolutely don't belong. There comes a time when you need to flip the switch, and flipping the switch is game on. That is when the wolves are released. There are moments when you're out in the field and things can be surreal. You have to be absolutely focused. You have to have your A game absolutely all the time. When you're out in the field or you're on an operation, the operation is the focus. We're at war. What are you willing to do?
Medal of Honor from Electronic Arts, October 12th, 2010.
Spoof that flashback.
Sony Computer Entertainment America presents An Evening with Seth Luisi on the Slant 6 SOCOM Comedy Tour. It's the biggest comedy event of the summer. Spend an evening with the Sultan of SOCOM, Seth Luisi.
SOCOM Confrontation is a new take on the SOCOM franchise. Confrontation was designed specifically for the PlayStation Network. We are also focusing on the online community a great deal as well. another big focus of the game is sort of what we're calling online events. So we plan on having regularly scheduled team tournaments. And we plan on having some in-game prizes and a lot of status that's going to go into those team tournaments. SOCOM Confrontation, which will be released this holiday season.
Tickets available at Ticketmaster. Reserve your seats now for a night with America's favorite comedy developer. Experience the trademark humor and sharp wit that's kept the entire SOCOM nation in stitches. Tickets are on sale now with advanced VIP seating starting at $60. Don't miss the magic. It's the Seth Luisi Slant 6 SOCOM Comedy Tour. This has been a parody.
There are times when you have so much to say, just so little time.
Excuse me, what?
Good thing there's Twitter. We got you covered with the latest and the most talked about topics, 140 characters at a time. Follow us on Twitter.
They're not my friends.
We brought the bottle of booze. Booze.
Come in, come in.
In February of 2010, Sony Electronic Entertainment teamed up with 51 Minds, the dynamic production company behind hits like VH1's The Surreal Life, Rock of Love, and For the Love of Ray J, to launch the 8-episode competition reality show The Tester on the PlayStation Network, the first ever original live-action series distributed on a video game console. The premise? Pretty simple, actually. While donning giant slingshots, paintball guns, and human hamster balls, 11 contestants are put to the test in a series of grueling physical and mental elimination challenges shaped around specific skills, including dexterity, communication skills, and mental prowess. All that to win a dream job at Sony Computer Entertainment in Quality Assurance, or QA, as a game tester with a $5,000 signing bonus. Each week, with the exception of the finale, at least one contestant was eliminated based on his or her performance by a panel of three judges. For the finale, the three remaining contestants race each other in a final challenge with multiple chapters, and the first contestant to complete all chapters is to be named the winner. Naturally, with the huge success of Season 1 in June, during their keynote address at E3, Sony announced that there would indeed be a Season 2. With voting for Round 1 now complete, the remaining top 500 casting hopefuls can only count the days until Friday, June 30th, that's this Friday, to find out if they made the cut, as only the top 100 will move on to the next round. Now, while Will Cyrus Powers actually won Season 1, runner-up Sam Dot Costanan III is arguably one of the most prominent cast members from that first season. Enjoying his new position with PlayStationLifestyle.net, and after saving the life of a fan of The Tester, and after having a brush with the Grim Reaper himself, like everybody else, he's getting ready for Season 2 of The Tester. And tonight he joins me, along with Urgent Fury staff member and potential Season 2 cast member, Brian Inadub Carey. Gentlemen, and I use that term loosely, welcome to Urgent Frequency.
I'm glad to be here.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for having us.
We got so much stuff to cover. First of all, we met Doc at E3. Doc, you were awesome, man. I know you were really busy and you took time out, like a lot of folks did. We keep talking about that in every episode, but you really did. You took out a lot of time, gave it to us, and we really appreciate that. But since then, dude, you have, not only were you on The Tester, the maiden voyage of The Tester, Season 1, on the PlayStation Network, but you've also had some crazy stuff going on outside of The Tester. First of all, you ended up saving somebody's life.
Just in the normal course of my duty, you know, no idea that this guy lived close to one of our stations. He calls 911. The guy's having a heart attack. So, you know, we get there, we do our thing. Guy dies. And, you know, we still do our thing because, you know, they're not dead till we get him to the hospital. And, you know, we do our thing, work with the hospital staff, bring the guy back. And while we're in his house, you know, your mind works at different speeds, especially when, you know, doing this type of work. So, you know, in the course of trying to take care of this guy, I'm looking at this guy's huge PlayStation setup, and I'm just like, wow, this guy's a gamer. I'm like, this is one of my peeps right here. You know, he's got a chair and a desk. This desk is not for anything business-like. It's got like three different 20-inch monitors on it that he sits in like the Captain Kirk chair, office chair.
It's a gaming
station.
You know,
he's got a computer screen just for Skype. And I'm like, holy crap. And every code patient we get, we usually go check to see how they're doing. And the guy was in the ICU, and me and my partner roll in there. And the guy's sitting up, you know, extubated, no tube. And I'm like, oh, crap, he's alive. And the guy literally sits further up in bed. He goes, oh, crap, you're Doc. And I'm like, yeah, you were dead. How's it going?
Yeah, that to me, that's one of those things where you go, what? And the fact that he was a fan of the show and he knew who you were, that was awesome. Now, a lot of folks might hear that sound in the background. That is not static. Do not adjust your TV, because it has nothing to do with this podcast. But that's beside the point. Anyway, you might hear that sound in the background. What that is, and, you know, when we first started doing the sound check and doing the levels and stuff like that in the pre-interview, I kept saying, hey, I hear this noise. Can we do something about it? I think somebody's setup is jacked up. It turns out that is Doc's oxygen machine, because after he saved somebody else's life, as if that wasn't enough, and to let everybody know, I mean, some of the cast members from season one have been very, very busy, because you guys are an active part of getting the word out about season two.
So absolutely.
So you've been really busy, but it turns out that you yourself ended up in the hospital. You want to talk a little bit about that, or are you doing okay? That's the first question. Are you doing okay?
I'm doing fine now. It actually all started, funny enough, it all started while I was playing PlayStation.
That makes total sense.
I knew it.
Yeah. Carrie had gone to bed, and then she saw me heading for the PlayStation, which always pisses her off at night. And she's like, oh, you're going to stay up in game. And I'm like, I just got to finish this one level. And I'm like, I'm like right at the end. I just got to do the thing and I'm done. And then she's just whatever. And then she goes to bed. Right. So sure enough, I was actually playing Red Faction Guerrilla, and I'm trying to throw a grenade and my hand's getting numb. And I'm like, what's up with that? So I keep going, no problem. And I start getting this pressure in my chest. And it's just enough to annoy me, not enough to, you know, cause me any concern. So I finished what I was, the goal I was at. And I turn it all off and I go to bed, lay down, can't get comfortable at all. It's enough to wake Carrie up. And she's like, what's wrong? And I'm just like, this is chest pain. It's just pissing me off. And she's like, well, you should get it checked out. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's no big deal. And she's like, listen, you get free ambulance rides and you have insurance. A lot of things most people don't have. She's like, just go get it friggin' looked at. So I call my dispatch and have them send the guys over. And the guys come over and they look at my heart. And on the EKG, it looks fine. And they're like, well, let's go get you checked out anyways. And I'm like, eh. And Carrie's like, yeah, you're going. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going. So we go for an ambulance ride down to the hospital. And they do an EKG. They do x-rays. Everything's looking good. They pull my blood work. And they're like, yeah, you've had a heart attack, guy. And I'm like, excuse me? And I'm like, I feel fine. Well, long story short, when they went to check out my heart, there was no damage from the heart attack that I had, but what they discovered was a genetic defect in my heart. And this wow. genetic defect, 0.5% of the population has. And it just got to the point where it just had enough and got pinched on the wrong part of the heartbeat enough to cause a damage, which was what I was feeling. And they're like, no, we have to fix this like now.
First of all, it's really cool that you actually completed the level. I'm really happy. I think that should be pointed out. I don't know if you got a trophy or anything, but I think it should.
Yeah, I did actually get a trophy.
Nice.
I think there's more to the story. First of all, what was the chemical? You told me yesterday, and I thought it was the stuff that was in turkey that makes you sleepy.
The stuff that's produced by your heart is called troponin.
Troponin. Okay, of course. I got my chemicals mixed up there. Okay.
The normal levels for troponin in a human usually starts at 0.03 and ends up somewhere like, I think it's 0.17. And mine was at 17.0.
Yeah, see, that's nuts, man. That's crazy. Thanks, Red Faction Guerrilla.
Exactly. Okay. And just to point out the difference, the gentleman that we brought in that was the big tester fan and is a huge PlayStation supporter. That guy's troponin was 11, and he died and came back.
Yeah, so that's crazy. So now, are you? I mentioned you're on oxygen and everything. Is this something? Are you okay? I mean, is it still life threatening, or is it squared away, as we used to say back in the Navy?
It's completely squared away. They went in there and, you know, it played a huge game of you know, that old game where you would connect the pipes so the water could flow through. Yes. So some high-paid doctor just went and did pipe works in my heart, and everything's good to go.
Well, speedy recovery, man. And if it was in the budget, I don't know, we'd send you like flowers in a balloon or something. But we're urgent frequency, so it's not in the budget. I'm barely in the budget. Let's get to the point to where you found yourself. This whole tester thing, I think it's very innovative. As I mentioned, people may not know this, but it is the first original live-action series distributed completely on a video game console. But it is a live-action reality series. How did you get to that point to where all of a sudden you were even considered for the casting of the tester?
I think they probably had me on an alternate list and somebody died.
Yeah, well, I remember that quote from when you first got into the building there. Look at me.
But how did you even get to that's what I want to know, is I want to know how you even got to that. There had to be somebody that called you up. There had to be a buddy. It seems like at E3, you were telling us the story of how you even came to audition. Of course, now Inadub, I should have said this, and of course I said this earlier, but Inadub, Brian, is currently in the top 500 on thetester.com. You can get your vote in today if you need to. He's actually in the position you were in not quite a year ago. When was this? This was in February?
October of last year.
October 2009. He's in the same position you were in October 2009. Let's talk about the audition process.
See, the way we did it is
voting for season one selection, correct?
Yeah, no, well, there was, but we didn't see it all.
Huh.
It was all done by Iconic Casting and Sony. They were the people that were making choices, and so you know, all this was all behind the scenes. So you did a written on because it would give you a little form to complete online about yourself and stuff you like. And I was putting stuff in there like I like the goats, and I was sad when my kitty lost its eyeball due to syphilis. And you know, I was just like, they don't read this shit, right? So I'm just typing away a lot of that, you know, and I fill in all the pertinent stuff, of course, right? Then they send you a giant package. That's when it starts getting a little more serious, because there's background information. There's felony disclosure statements, and I'm like, which would have worked good for Barney. I don't know how Barney got past that part. But or drug rehab. There should have been something on drug rehab, because then that would have eliminated STAR too. So there's obviously some holes in the process. But
first of all, I just want to go on record and say that is the second goat reference I've heard today. And wow, you seem like the tension between the cast members, was that real? Most of it?
Some of it was, yes. The whole outing of STAR, nobody had any idea I was going to do that. And I was kind of wrestling in my head, and I was just like, so I just throw this out there, and I'm like, but please, she plays on the crap box. And I'm like, so I was having this whole internal fight in my head, and then finally I'm like, I know who you are. Yeah, I'll just go out there and say that. I was pretty effing pissed how she kept squeaking by in challenges where she had no right to be. And I was just getting more and more infuriated as it went on, and finally to the point where I was just like, listen, the second they let me out of this house.
But anyway, let's go back to the audition process and how the whole experience actually, like I said, I want to know how you got to the point to where you're sitting there going, oh my God, I'm on a reality show.
Well, after the lengthy application process, you know, because you do online forms and you do physical forms, and the stack of forms you do are quite substantial. And then when you get the non-disclosure agreement package, when you get that, that's when you know you're in. Because I didn't know it at the time. I'm like, non-disclosure. And they're like, yeah, everything past this point you cannot talk about. And they are quite specific. And I was just like, oh man, this is pretty serious. So you send that in, and then they interview you on Skype. And what they're looking for is you interview with one person on Skype. You see one person, but nine people are seeing you. because they will ask you, they'll be like, Brian, what is your favorite color? What's your favorite color, Brian?
Blue.
See, you answered the question wrong, and you didn't even know it, dude. So what your response would be, I'd be like, Brian, what is your favorite color? And you would be like, my favorite color is...
Because no matter how you slice it, it's not really television, but it is live-action entertainment. So they don't want you to sit there and go, yes, no.
Exactly.
They don't want robots. Okay, so see, this is great. This is why I wanted you guys on this episode together, because I wanted you to give your unique perspective to our friend Brian here in the event that he does make it through. Did I mention you guys can vote for him right now on thetester.com? You should get over there and do that. Like you said, I totally understand, you know, they want somebody, and you're animated, dude. You're like me. You can't just stand there and have a conversation. You feel like you're having an experience. Are you okay? Did he fall? It sounded like he fell.
The oxygen quit.
Don't die, man. Don't die on urgent frequency. That would be the worst possible scenario for me right now, is if Doc the Tester died on urgent frequency.
Dude, that'd be big money. What are you talking about, dude? Because isn't like no artist or person really appreciated until after they die?
Yeah, there's Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, and then Doc from the Test. So anyway, you're in the show. What was it like? What was the production like? Is it segmented? Like, do they craft it like a television show?
Well, the location is kept really top secret. And you know that you're a different part of this production, because you'll show up in one giant stretched like limo van, right? And one guy in the mic goes, the talent is on the set. The talent is on the set. And I'm like,
ooh, see, that's cool, though. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm like, who's the talent? And he's like, oh, that's you guys. And I'm like, oh.
That's classic.
You show up, you get mic'd, you know, your first day, and they kind of just run down. They're like, you guys are going to see your new place for the first time on camera, you know, and they're like, we want you to be what's called camera ready. And what they mean by camera ready is you have your mic on, your mic's working, and you cannot wear anything that has a logo on it. They actually have this lady that comes to your room and goes through all your clothes.
Nice.
And she's a very nice lady, but she would be like, you cannot wear this, 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 this. And to make sure you can't wear it, they take it from you until...
They take it? They confiscate your logoed apparel is what you're saying.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I can't wear the shirt now.
Yeah, because I had a great Batman Arkham Asylum shirt.
See, I didn't even think about the dilemma that would come from that kind of thing, but it makes total sense now. Let's talk about some of the other contestants if you want to.
Oh, let's.
Go ahead and dish, man. We're listening. So tell us about your experience during the actual production of the show.
Cyrus and I made friends before the camera started rolling. That was legit. Cyrus and I were the first two people to actually make friends. When we were on set, the way it's edited, you can't really tell, but when Meredith says go enjoy or explore your loft, right? Cyrus and I run straight to the bar. We're watching everyone else talk while we're pulling out the cranberry juice and vodka. We just started drinking and watching everybody. And then we're like, hey, these other people need drinks too. So we started making drinks for everybody else. The whole alliance thing kind of started day one, because we were like, all right, if we were going to get stuck, you know, or we're going to get pigeonholed, you know, who here do you think is a good gamer or is actually a gamer? And then that's where we had about 15 minutes standing at the bar listening to other people talk. And we were like, yeah, that person's a gamer. That person's a gamer. That person is not a gamer. So, and you know, and that's when the whole star thing started formulating in my head. Well, Barmy was hiding behind a couch somewhere, and I'm like... He was off, way off by the moon, man, in the room that leads into our sleeping area. It's like, all right, the Barmy guy's weird. Bob Taylor. Yeah, it's a serial killer name if I ever heard one. You had people like Big D. Big D actually did was a PA on The Apprentice. Big D and I did a lot of trivia battles that were never aired. What I tell a lot of people is the stuff you didn't see, you could have made a movie on. What you actually saw was like a tenth of what actually happened in that loft, man.
Well, now give us a time frame, Doc. What was the I know it was 8 episodes, but what was the actual time frame for the production? I mean, were you guys together a whole lot more? I mean, you said there was a lot more footage that we never got to see. So what was a typical day? You show up at the shoot, and then what happens?
We have breakfast. We all have breakfast together, and we're talking about games. We're talking about each other. We're talking about, you know, what could be going on. Then we just go lounge around the loft. You know, there were some real epic air hockey battles that went down that nobody saw. There was an air hockey table you can see in a couple of the clips out by the bar. Cyrus and I emptied out the bar, which actually stopped production. Cameras go down. We go on what's called ice. The cast goes on ice, which nobody talks. Nobody talks. You can move around. Nobody talks.
I'm surprised like Jack Daniels didn't offer you a job as a tester. Jesus. You say a lot of the drama that we saw was real, and I'm sure some of it was manufactured. The company that did the tester, I'm, of course, also responsible for The Rock of Love with Bret Michaels. See, maybe it's a curse. Maybe it's a reality show curse. They say that there's a reality show curse. I don't know if that's true or not.
I believe it. I absolutely believe it. Yeah, 51 Minds was the production team. The production team themselves are amazing people. Those people are friggin' awesome, man. I've seen them do things for the Food Channel, too.
They basically turned you guys into rock stars. I mean, even, which I'm not saying all cast members, because it seems like that there's a core group of you guys that, it's like all reality shows, though. There's like this core group that they just stick out. Do you think there was a core group with the tester? Like, I know there was you, there was Cyrus. Who else do you think really stands out as one of the strong contestants from season one?
I'm going to go with Luge and Anthony and Nauseous. Both committed gamers. If you guys don't know, Luge has been on the leaderboard for Modern Warfare for I don't know how long. She is actually a fierce friggin' player. I feel like, you know, demasculated playing with her because, you know, I'm like, yeah, that was a good game. And then I look at her score and she's like 58-2.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, it's really odd. When I first started gaming, especially after I first got married, and I don't know, maybe Brian can test this too. I'm pretty sure he said that his wife has nothing to do with games.
Oh, yeah, it's right on his bio, dude.
My wife, you know, not game. I can proudly say that my wife, a legitimate Fullbird captain on SOCOM, I guess I was one of the lucky ones, but here in the last, at least last 5-10 years, dude, the girls have definitely brought their game. And you look at the frag dolls, you look at, I know in Urgent Fury alone, we have a nice handful of legitimate, which was really cool to see a few girls on the tester. Did you feel like they had a chip on their shoulder because they were the quote-unquote female gamer? Or tell me about that dynamic, if you can.
I think a couple of them did. I think Star did because, you know, she feels like she's in this role where she feels like she constantly has to prove herself. In a way, I know Fame Girl did because she's reserved and quiet, but she's really into her games and she really puts everything into what she games. Luge, not so much. She doesn't have a chip on the shoulder because she's probably too busy stabbing somebody. The thing you run into with these reality show things is Sony has issued a press release that they plan to do more original programming in the future. So the tester is just the test. You know, they were just testing the waters to see if they could do it. And Kevin Ferrucci was the guy who pushed and campaigned his own company to do this. The end result of the tester was something like 2.5 million downloads, right? And you look at it compared to like a God of War. Everyone downloaded the God of War demo, right? And that was 3 million downloads, dude. So that tells you how the tester just literally just blew up, man.
It's very popular amongst the people I game with and talk to. You know, they're all familiar with it. There was a couple people that didn't watch all the way through, but most of them do, like everybody, you know, and everything. So I was pretty impressed, really, when I started asking around.
Doc, you said your shooting schedule was 2 weeks long. What was the daily shooting schedule?
The daily shooting schedule, it was weird because, you know, sometimes we'd shoot one episode, right? Then sometimes we'd shoot, on a day, we'd shoot two episodes. And then some days we didn't do anything.
So would you say daylight to dark? In that two-week period, how many days did you actually work and like how many hours?
We'd start somewhere around 7 a.m., they'd start rolling at 7, and we'd finish somewhere like 10 at night.
So let's move on to now, dude. Outside of saving lives and your recent brush with the Grim Reaper, and again, I hope you fully recover and everything's going to be okay, because you do. You have a very busy schedule right now. I mentioned that some of you guys have just been turned into rock stars. I know that everybody, especially at Sony, they've got to be excited about Season 2. What are you guys doing right now to get ready for Season 2?
We're trying to help a lot of the contestants that we think that will do well on season two. We're trying to foster them and give them advice. And it's funny because in today's age of Here Today, Gone Today, there's actually been some people that are like, oh no, you're like, you're yesterday's news. I can do this by myself. There's been a couple like that, and it's been like, oh, really?
Yeah, well, see, I mean, and again, that's why it was so important for me to get you and Brian here together. Since we've got you here, we're trying to get Brian in. It would be an honor to have a member of Urgent Fury represented on the Tester Season 2. So give him a little bit of advice. You've looked at his profile. Give him a little bit of advice, or and the other 499 people that are left in the competition until July 30th, when they will be reduced to the top 100. Make a note of that. Give him a little bit of advice on his profile and some of the things that he could do to improve his chances for the next round.
Pretty much, Brian's written bio is pretty dead on. You want to incorporate, when you got into gaming, why you got into gaming, how gaming has affected you, and how you've used that effect to catapult into the next level of what you're doing in gaming. And he's done a pretty fair job of that. The only thing I would suggest is taking the current video that he has and make sure that no one ever sees that again.
Yeah, stop beating around the bush. You don't like the video, do you?
No, it's not by far the worst that I've seen on that site. There are some people there that I just wanted to punch their mothers in the face.
Wow.
I'm just like, why are you
even
here? My
mother's been voting for me daily, so she'll greatly appreciate any.
I hope you get picked for this, bro. And if you do, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how far you make it in the show. It's how far you personally make it with people, because I was out in the eighth round, and I've paintballed before. They didn't show the whole paintball fiasco the way it really went down, because once you're picked, your life is going to change regardless. In some way, your life will definitely change.
I think personality is important. I think that the way you present yourself, you got to be a character, and you just got to be yourself. Because I know, talking to you in person, you're just like you were on the show. Very, like I said, very animated, a lot of fun to be around. You're the life of the party. You didn't seem to meet any strangers while we were standing there. We're moving into season two. We got Brian ready. You've given him some advice. So, Brian, now it's your turn, buddy. Inadub, Urgent Fury's very own staff member, Inadub. Talk to us, man. This is your platform. This is your chance now. I want you to turn it on for Doc. I want you to turn it on for the guys at Sony. I want you to take this opportunity, and I want to hear your case. Why is it that you think you should be on season two of The Tester?
No pressure.
I told you I was going to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I knew this was coming. Well, basically, like my profile says, I'm a gamer by all definitions, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I was raised in a video game environment. I was lucky enough to have some friends of the family who were in the industry who gave me a bunch of games. So I was lucky enough to have a large collection, and a very diverse collection at that, from multiple platforms all the way up to the current ones. Not that it'll help me at all, but I currently own all platforms out there available, and I'm happy on a daily basis. Yeah, I heard that. And this is something that I feel I'm a perfect candidate for. This is not something you can go to school for. This isn't something that you're taught. This is something you're born with. And personally, I feel I'm born for it. So an opportunity to do something like this would be amazing. Regardless if I make the show or not, I'm having a blast seeing all my support out there. I've donated a lot of time and to a great community out there who is actually probably listening to me right now. It's great to see that, I'm getting a lot of support for a lot of the effort for everybody. Again, I appreciate you, Doc, taking the time to give me some pointers and, ridicule my video to the fullest.
Tell him, Brian. Tell him you cannot go to school for this, because school is in session every time that power light comes on.
Exactly.
All right, guys. So. Well, this has definitely been awesome. This has been like Master and Commander.
Doc, can I call you Yoda from now on? Would that be okay with you?
No, because that guy's bald.
Yeah, that is true. And you got a wonderful head of hair, I have to say.
Thank you.
But anyway, listen, tell everybody about season two, man. When does it start? How close are we? What's going on with season two? And I know you're working with PlayStation Lifestyles now, is that correct?
Yes, I'm writing for PlayStationLifestyle.net, and I'm actually going to take part in a charity gaming event coming up here in October. I'm going to be gaming for 24 hours straight. I'm going to have it live via Ustream. Nyko's giving me the controllers. Gamer Grub's giving me the food. Nox is giving me the audio. Dynaflex is giving me the workout equipment. I'm trying to raise $1,000 for the Children's Hospital Network, which we have here in Seattle, which is the closest one to me to Children's Seattle Hospital, because they've actually had to turn kids away with all these new illnesses that are coming up. So I'm getting myself involved in projects like that. I'm trying to get donations. I have my whole network of donation pages out there, but I actually put out there that whoever donates the biggest chunk gets to pick what game I'm going to play for the first 2 hours. Will Powers himself said, he's like, if I got enough cash, he's like, you're playing Hannah Montana.
Okay, so how can they get involved, especially for anybody in your general area? How can they help the Children's Hospital there?
Just Google Extra Life, and it will take you to the website, and you can search your gamers. You can search Doc on there. You can search anybody in your area and join a group. And you can put a flyer out yourself, and you can do your part, man. The only thing to ask is that you game for 24 hours to raise your money.
That is really cool, sir. Sam, I can't thank you enough for being here. Of course, everybody here in Urgent Fury wishes you a very speedy recovery. Everybody should go to PlayStationLifestyle.net, and our crack staff just gave me the link to find out more about Extra Life Gaming Charities. You can go to extralife.sarcasticgamer.com/WP to find out more about Extra Life Charities. Extra Life. Play games, heal kids. Brian and Adub, thank you as well, my friend. I know you had to make time to do this, and I totally appreciate that. Don't forget, community, the deadline to push Adub through to the top 100 is this Friday, July 30th. So visit casting.thetester.com/Adub right now and get your vote on. Before we wrap things up for tonight, I do have a few things I need to cover. First, signups for Urgent Fury Black are now closed, and I have a few dates that you might want to keep in mind. Invites will be sent out tomorrow. That's Wednesday, July 28th, 2010. You'll have until this Friday, July 30th, 2010, to accept your invite. And of course, the important date, war begins on Monday, August 2nd, 2010. Now, we told you last time about the Urgent Frequency E3 Photo Ops Contest. All you had to do was submit a photo showing Urgent Fury Pride for a chance to win one of 5 exclusive E3 prize packages, which included a Medal of Honor beta code, a Red Dead Redemption strategy guide, a custom Urgent Frequency poster, and a $20 gift certificate to the Urgent Fury Marketplace. And since only one person entered, only one person wins. VR's Mike Jackson will claim his E3 prize package for his photo. Hoo-yah, Mikey, I appreciate that. And since nobody else in the community wanted the other 4 prize packs, Urgent Fury will donate them to the Wounded Warrior Project and give 4 Wounded Warrior gamers a small token of our appreciation. Hoo-yah to all of our warriors, wounded or not. Don't forget to network with us via Twitter, the official Urgent Fury blog, Urgent Fury Unleashed, and on our web channel at YouTube.com. Urgent Frequency is produced by Urgent Fury Holdings and right here in the studio by Allison Armstrong, with a very special thanks this week to Ace, who came through like a trooper, and he made sure we got this episode finished. Hoo-yah, thank you very much, Ace. I am Commander Claymore Fury. You know the drill, tadpoles. Keep your feet wet and your powder dry. Hoo-yah! Go!
Oh, and lo, yes, a sailor's wife with chestnuts in her lap, and munched and munched and munched. Give me some, said I. Away with thee, she cried. Her husband is away at sea. What is that thou hast? Her husband's thumb. Show me, show me. Wrecked as homeward he did come.